If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us for some very familiar verse of Scripture. For those of you who was here on the 14th, I started this sermon that night and promised you there'd be more of it. Some of you were excited, others weren't. I will tell you the shouting part was in the first part. So if you didn't shout on the 14th, you're going to have a problem this morning. Acts chapter 1, if you'll turn with me. For the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch, move on us with your power, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake your neighbor's hand, say, hey, the first part he's just going to review. The book of Luke and the book of Acts were both written by Luke. And basically, they were probably the same writing divided into two books. But he began the book of Acts by saying the former treatise, referring to the book of Luke. And he said, I want you to look at that, because he said, these are a continuation of my former writing. What he said was, in the book of Luke, he ended it with this: these are the things Jesus Christ began to do and to teach while he was on this world. Now, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, and it is actually a historical record of the beginning of the church, how the church was started, the works of those men that were being used of God. And the book of Acts does not have an ending, because we are still writing that book. And the truth of the matter is, what the book of Acts is, the book that is actually the proceeding of what Jesus Christ began to do and to teach while he was on this earth. It's only now it is produced through those of us who have been born again, washed in the blood of Calvary, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Could you say amen? Glory. The Bible tells me in the book of Luke, he was a God that dwelled with us. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. In the book of Acts, he becomes the God that dwells in us. And I tell you, church, somebody told me one day, said, well, you act like you Pentecostals, you're on one going. I said, you've never heard me preach. A lot of us ain't going to make it. Don't look at me. That's not judgment. The truth of the matter is, there'll be some from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. We claim to be Pentecostal. We claim to have the power, yet there's less of us out witnessing than there are from some other churches. Thus, we have the name of the sermon, Out of Service. Well, preacher, why don't God pour out the Holy Ghost? Why don't you put gas in a car that don't crank? Hello? You got a car that ain't going nowhere. You're not going to fill the tank up with gas. Smile. Oh, some of y'all go, what are you talking about? Some of y'all like a car set up on blocks. You ain't going nowhere. You got nothing to do. You're burning up because the air conditioner needs to be turned on. Hint, hint. I got everybody waving. Even our air conditioning men are out of service. Glory. They're looking at me like, what air conditioning? Please don't turn it on too far. We don't want ice cubes on the wall. Glory. I'm trying to help y'all, but if y'all wave hard enough, it'd get cooler in here. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need to understand that God today is moving in the church, but he wants to move in the world. And somehow we've gotten all messed up and we've gotten out of service and we've quit working for God. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God's work's finished. That's what most preachers are trying to make you think. But God didn't say he finished his work. He said he finished the plan that would tie you into the work. Redemption is finished. There doesn't have to be another death on the cross. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, amen, he said this. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but of his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God's blood is sufficient. He doesn't have to die again. If you're here and you ask him to forgive you, your blood, well, the blood of his death will cover your sins. Could you say amen? And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to wait the next year or the next year. Nobody else has to die. He's a sacrifice for everybody that will believe. Could you say amen to that, church? He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for the world. He died for people all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Every sin man ever committed, according to the book of Corinthians, he took our sins, he who knew no sin, and he nailed our sins to that cross that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Could you say amen? So the plan of redemption is finished. That's what he's talking about on the cross. The work of Christ to reach the world is not finished. While there's a church on every corner and there's people between them dying and going to hell. Why? Because most of our churches are out of service. I told y'all, y'all should have shouted the last time. It's not going to get no better. Glory. David Wilkerson preached in the National Conference for the General Assemblies one time. He said, hey, there'll be less and less shouting as I go along. Glory. He is serious and he was true. Glory. Amen. But the reality is we need to understand that our sins are gone. Listen to what the psalmist said. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. But who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Could you say amen? Christ was relevant in his day. He is still relevant right now, we don't need a new word. We don't need a new message. We just need to get busy with the one we got. Glory. Our God is an anticlimactic God. He saves the best for last. If you think you saw something, just hang on. It's going to get better. You say, now, preacher, you can't give me scripture. I hear the prophet Haggai when he said it this way. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I've had people talk about, oh, I remember when we used to run the aisles, then why ain't you still running them? Oh, I remember when we used to see people healed, God's still in the healing business. Oh, I remember when we used to pray, and there's where the key comes in. When we used to pray, when we used to call on God, when we used to do something for him, if we get back in service, I've got a God who is still on the throne with the same power to do it today. Ooh. Glory. I used to get tickled. Come on, come on. I remember when we used to have revival. I remember when I started evangelizing, I never booked nobody by date. You know, and years later, I'd say, well, I'll be with you on June the 4th or June the 5th, whatever that Sunday was. When I started preaching, I'd say, I'll be with you when I leave Brother McIntyre. Because you didn't know when you was going to leave Brother McIntyre. Nothing to go 2-3 weeks. Then suddenly we got down to a week. Then we got down to 3 days. Now we got guys that don't even have revival because they can't get nobody to come to church. Somebody asked me, said, you still have revival? I said, yeah. He said, you have anybody come? I said, my faithful folks do. The rest of them, they're just hanging on. Glory. I told you to shout earlier. Don't look at me like you're looking at me. I'm preaching what you need to hear. I came here and all I've heard since I got here is how this church gets to a certain place and falls back down. It gets to a certain place and falls back down. You know why? Because you get to a certain place and nobody does anything else and you back up because I've got it rolling. I'll just ride. But the truth of the matter is there is no cruise control in working for God. We've got to get busy. We're living in the last day and it's time for us to move into the harvest. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Glory. I got to get me some appointed shouters, I reckon, because I got a whole bunch of folks going, Lord, I didn't come to church to get wore out. I know, you want me to come tell you how wonderful you are, how great you are. Because you see, the devil has convinced people that church is about you. It ain't never been about you. Amen. 10 steps to get the blessing. I'd pack a building with that. I've been told if I changed my preaching, we'd have a crowd. But I ain't going to hell just to have a crowd. And I'll go to hell if I don't preach the truth. I tell you what would happen if every one of y'all would quit mealy-mouthing about your little problems and go to work for God. We could fill this building up. Come on, church. Get your cell phone out and check, see what all you said in your text message this week. How many of you texted a message to somebody about Christ? How many of you stopped at work and talked to somebody about the Lord? How many of you, while you was getting gas, spoke to somebody at the gas station about God? Come on, church. So what are you talking about? See, I ended the first message with this question. Why do you believe you deserve the benefits if you ain't doing the job? Oh, I want healing. When's the last time you worked for the insurance? I know this ain't gonna get me on television, but I've seen me on television, and I don't look good on television. They ain't got a wide angle enough lens to make me look little. I was in Arkansas one time, and this lady walked up, she said, you that preacher. I said, do what? She said, you that preacher. I said, what preacher? When I saw on TV, I said, ma'am, you ain't seen me on TV. She said, oh, yeah, you was on TV the other night. I saw you. You was preaching in a church in Huntsville. This guy filmed the services, gave it to his buddy, and he's running on a channel in Arkansas. This lady picks me out. She said, I'd know you anywhere. You fill up a soup better than anybody I know. Glory. I'm like, well, she knows I ain't been fasting much. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. I got to do something to make you laugh. You're not laughing about the sermon. Glory. Notice, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And then what's going to happen when you get the power? Well, you're going to go down and get them doodads when they're singing Granny's favorite song, and you're going to dance and shout. No. That's something you do as a benefit. What you do with the anointing is tell people about the God that gave you that anointing. Because you get so excited about the anointing, you want more. And to get more, you got to pour out. Because he will not waste his anointing. And why would God make an investment in somebody he's getting no return from? Well, you don't have scripture. You better read the scripture. Jesus, talking about the husbandman, said when he finds a branch that don't put out, what does he do with it? Glory. I'm moving on. I'm fixing to go to part two. I'm not even going to read Acts 1 and 8 to begin part two. I'm just going to say the devil has got things turned around. He makes us believe that going to church is all about us, because the modern day theology of preachers is, if I make them feel good and I entertain them, I'm going to fill my building up. We're being taught by the upper echelon, this is what you got to do. You got to have great singers. You've got to have a program. I mean, we got one guy that would ride a motorcycle in, up on the stage, get off of him, preach. Ain't got nothing to do with a sermon, but boy, he brought a crowd because they want to see him ride that motorcycle in. Glory. That same guy don't let the Holy Ghost move in his church. Except once a week, once a month on a Sunday night, he let them have a Holy Ghost service. But he's talking about stopping that because it cost him one of his biggest tithe payers because she went one Sunday night to that Holy Ghost service and people got to acting like Church of God folks supposed to act. She looked at somebody and said, what's going on? She said, we're Pentecostal. She said, oh, no, I can't be Pentecostal. And she left the church. One of his biggest tithe payers, because she finally found out after 2.5 years she was in a Pentecostal church. I'm going to be honest with you, church, that's sad that somebody attended a church for 2.5 years and didn't even know they believed in the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to be honest with you, church, I wonder sometimes if folks come here and don't understand we are Pentecostal, we are filled with the Spirit, we are anointed to do a work for God. We ought to be doing something for Him. The devil's got it turned around. Listen, we've got to get it turned back. Say, what are you talking about? We've got to serve God and believe God that God is still able to do what this book said he could do. That means we got to have faith. Hello? Listen, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what's wrong with most people in the church? Satan has stole your hope. And because you no longer have nothing to hope for, you've got nothing else to go. I mean, you run into people. Listen, I have learned in the church of God, never ask somebody how they're doing. Because they will tell you. It's discouraging. They got medical records longer than a yard. And they want to make sure every detail gets to you. Because this is their important thing to talk about. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. Smile. People that do nothing but dwell on their problems have no hope of a future. They have no hope of deliverance. They have no hope of healing. They've got no hope God can do anything. They're running around waiting on a preacher to tell them how God's going to get them out, how God's going to do this, when the truth of the matter is, if you've got faith in the power and the grace of God, there is hope in every situation. My God can do it. Well, see, the problem is we need to understand God is an expressive God. He is a God that loves to express himself through the anointing. He's a God that loves to empower people to do work for him. We need to understand that we're too busy trying to get out of stuff God might have put us in. Hello? Why are you talking about, preacher? God ain't never put me. If he can trust you, he'll put you in places. Living for God, you ain't going to always be on that mountaintop. You hear these people talk, I'm so blessed, I just bounce from one mountain to the next. Those people ain't no more living for God than there's a man in the moon. You start living for God, you're going to have problems, you're going to have trouble. Prove it, preacher. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. You want to find God, you get to working for him. Let some trouble brew up, God will show up. Could you say amen? Come on. Some of y'all don't know about the fourth man in the fire because you won't get in a fire. Hey, Brad, go crank my car and pull it out here. Close. Matter of fact, bring it to this door so I don't have to walk out. There's a couple of people back there like, I'm going to put him in the fire. Glory. It's okay. I'm preaching truth. Hello? Listen. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke 4:16. His first sermon. His first time to speak in a synagogue. And notice what he said. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that bruise, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And his eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." They begin to look at him and go, he thinks he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. Hello? Come on, church. Well, guess what? He was. But I want to focus on one word. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because." If you lose your cause, you've lost your reason to fight. Come on, church. We've got to have a cause if we're going to take a chance. We've got to have a cause if we're going to get in trouble and take a fight and do something. And the problem with most people in the church, your cause has become you. It's not about God. It's all about you. And the only thing that focused you on is, I got to make so much money. I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to outdo the Smiths. And the truth of the matter is, you are wrong. In this life, you're supposed to sell out to his cause. And if you sell out to his cause, you don't have to worry about where you're going to live or what you're going to wear or how you're going to eat, because God will provide for you according to his riches and glory by Christ. God never intended the church to ever have to leave the world. Hello? When he created Adam, he was in hopes that Adam would just take over the world and rule it for him. He said, I preach you can't prove that. Genesis chapter 1. And so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed him. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. Hello? What are you talking about? God said, tend the garden, subdue the land. That was his plan. You say, now, preacher, you can't prove that. When Jesus came to the world, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. Had the Jews accepted him, he would have simply started back the plan. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, what are you getting at? He's not gave up on the plan. You see, if you read Revelation, behold, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And all of a sudden, the tabernacle of God is going to come down on that earth and dwell with who? The mystical church, you and I. And we're going to rule and reign with him forever and forever and forever and forever. Come on, church. Glory. Had the devil and his minions known what was going on, they would have never crucified Christ. Well, why is that, preacher? Because when he was here, there was only one Son of Man, Son of God. He died on the cross. And suddenly he multiplied in his death, because now everyone who will believe on him have a right to no longer be bound in this world. But what was it Paul wrote to the church at Rome? You have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. What are you talking about? I now am a son of God because I'm washed in the blood of Calvary. And there's thousands of people in this world who are children of God, to do the work of God in this world. Greater things ye shall do, because I go to the Father. That same anointing that was on Christ when he was baptized in the river is the anointing that's on the church. And we have the same power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We got the same power to cast out demons. Come on, church, it's time some of y'all woke up. Oh, the devil's been all over me. Get up in the morning, pray through and throw him off. Tell him to get out your life through the power of the anointing of God, and God will set you free. See, some of y'all still upset because I told you it wasn't about you. Because you can't have a conversation where it ain't about you. You know why you keep having trouble? Because it's all about you. You're trying to get your bank account up. You're trying to get your house paid for. Come on, church. Well, preacher, aren't you doing that? I could care less. I bought that house because my wife wanted it. I could live in a pup tent and be just as happy. Watch her nod her head. I tried to get her to buy a house in Vance because I wanted it. I didn't start preaching because I wanted to have a fancy house and a nice car. I didn't figure I was going to make much money. I don't know if y'all understand this. First few years I preached, if I hadn't been working as a carpenter, I'd have starved to death. I don't know about these young guys starting out now. They think the minute they get their papers, they're supposed to preach in big churches and make big money. I preached in churches where I paid them to let me show up. Come on. I remember going to a little church over in Shades Valley. Wasn't in Shades Valley, but that's what they called the church. First time I went there, I had to stop, get a payphone, call the pastor. I said, where are y'all at? He said, where are you? I said, I'm up in Shades Valley. He said, we ain't nowhere near there. They're back down near McAdoy. Ain't nowhere near Shades Valley, but they called the church Shades Valley. I got there and all 15 people showed up. I preached that little white wooden building on the side of that road, and the pastor said, we got to do something. We got to fix this. So he changed the name of the church to Pocahontas Road. Man, he said, God sent me here. I'm going to build a church. Me and him was both so broke, we'd have to buy a coat and a candy bar over across the road and sit around on the hill after church for fellowship because we couldn't afford to go out to eat. I remember one night we actually went to Shoney's. I got the buffet, and he got an extra plate. I told you, it's broke. That same guy had the audacity to tell me he was going to build a sanctuary to seat 1,100 people. You know what my answer was? You could drop an atomic bomb out here, you wouldn't kill 1,100 people. He laughed. I preached in that sanctuary 30 years later. Amen. Why? Because God used that man. Because he made up his mind, I'm going to go here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to inspire some other people to work for God. And we're going to do a work for him. And it went up. Come on, church. I used to drive to South Alabama and preach to them little churches. And I'd give my heart to God. I didn't start preaching because of that. I started preaching because I had a cause. God saved me. And every time I prayed, I'd say, God, why would you ever touch a young man like me and turn my life around? I'm nothing. But God said, I'm going to use you. And I didn't start preaching because it meant something. I started preaching because I owe him my life, and everything that I am and ever going to be is because of him. See, some of y'all don't understand me because I really don't care about nothing. I ain't worried about what the devil's going to do. I could care less. Somebody, oh, the devil's going, I don't care. You know why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is, come on, church. I know I'm certifiable crazy. I'd sign the papers myself. But I spent 35 years with no known income, 35 years trusting in God, and guess what? I'm still here. And I'm still kicking, and the devil's tried every way he can, and he ain't been able to take me out. Come on, church. You say, well, you started pastoring and settled down. I'll be honest with you, I was doing better on the other side physically. Hello? I don't care. If I die tomorrow, I'm going out fighting. See, some of you, you keep running from the trouble when you ought to get in it. What you got to realize, ain't going to be a fight. You got to show up. I remember in high school, I challenged the guy to a fight. I dared him to show up. Thank God he didn't come. I told him about how bad I was going to be. Called him at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get him mad enough to show up. I know who he was. I'd never heard of Bob Bum Howard before then. Some of y'all may not have heard of him either, but I saw him sign with Alabama that February, and I saw he was 6'6", weighed 315 pounds, and I going, I'm glad he didn't show up. Glory. All-American defensive lineman at Alabama, all-pro defensive lineman with the Miami Dolphins, and I'm like, man, I'm glad he didn't show up, because if he'd have showed up, I wouldn't be here. Ain't a doubt in my mind that wouldn't have been a long fight. Because I'd have been running. And I was fast. He wouldn't have caught me. Glory. Come on, church. But some of you are running from the fight before you ever get in it. If you're going to fight the fight, you got to show up. So you still ain't proved nothing to me. If you would quit worrying about your problems and get busy with God's cause, God will take care of you. Prove it. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. If I'm in His purpose, I ain't got to worry about what's going to happen with my purpose. Because if I'm in His purpose, He's going to take care of everything I got to have while I'm doing His purpose. Because if I'm busy doing His work, I'm going to walk in His favor. What is favor? I'm going to get things I don't deserve. I'm going to be blessed beyond anything I could ever apprehend. Why? Because I'm more worried about His harvest. I'm more worried about His purpose. I'm more worried about what He's doing. And some of you are so worried about your own self, you've lost His purpose. But if you get a cause to fight for, I got a God who'll take. Some of y'all missed the opportunity to shout right there. You could have jumped the purpose. Whoa, I'm getting favor. Glory. Glory. I can't do that too many times. I don't trust these suspenders. Glory. Glory. I'm just going to freelance the rest of it. I don't even have a watch on. And you ain't looking either. I promise you. I seen you pull your arm out like this. Now he's going to show me his watch that's on his phone. It's 12:02. Tap it, see if it'll back up like my watch does. Listen. Moses is praying. She put it up there if y'all want to read it, but it's found in the 11th chapter of the book of Numbers. He's upset with God because God's given them manna and they're complaining about it. We got folks in the church, God bless you, and you get upset because you didn't get blessed like somebody else. You ever figured you might not could handle what somebody else could handle and God didn't want to give you something, going to make you give up on Him? Glory. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but there's a reason I'm not a millionaire. I'm pretty good with money, but God just ain't seen to give me no million because He's afraid I might get excited about it and forget about preaching. I might retire. So He's going to keep me going so I won't. Come on, church. Don't look at me. I don't think there's that many millionaires in here. So y'all ain't no better off than I am. Truth of the matter is, God doesn't bless everybody the same because everybody's not operating the same. But notice this, all those people were getting manna. They didn't have to cook. It just come down with the dew every morning. That's what it says there. And said they're griping because they got tired of manna. They got tired of that. They wanted flesh. They wanted something to eat. God finally sent them some quail and they ate it. But Moses said, look, God, I can't handle this bunch. You put them on me. Why don't you do this? If you're going to leave me like this, kill me. It's right there in that love of chapter. Now, church, when you start telling God to kill you, you're taking a chance. He can. He asked for it. He said, God, if you're going to leave me, kill me. God said, go point you 70 men, and I'm going to take your anointing. And I'm going to spread it among that 70. And they are going to operate as you. Now notice this. God told Moses, said, I gave you an anointing of 70 men. But since you don't think you can do the job, give me 70 guys like I told you to pick out. I'm going to give them your anointing. They're going to operate through your anointing. And they're going to do the job you could do with your anointing. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's what God's been trying to tell the church. Ever since Jesus died, that anointing is now been acclimated to everybody who will believe, and everybody that believes has the power and the anointing not to do what I want, but to do the work and the purpose and the will of God in this world. Oh, I would that God would shake us. So I said, oh, I want to shake him from God. No, I don't want one like you want. I want something to just get me excited so I can shout. I want God to shake me so I'll wake up. I'll wake up and realize I need to study the word more. I'll wake up and realize I need to pray more. I'll wake up and realize I need to seek God more. I want God to shake me to somebody gets saved and somebody gets delivered and somebody gets healed through the power of God that's flowing through me. God, shake me until I wake up in a fresh anointing of your power and your grace with a hunger for you I've never had before. I had something happen the other day. It kind of fits this sermon, so just stick with me. All of y'all can figure this out. I had a problem arise. It was a natural problem, but still a problem. I needed a restroom. Bad. We've all been there. I walk over and said, where's the restroom? Back of the store. I'm like, that far? I'm headed there. Wide open. I see the sign, restrooms. I get to the door. And there's a sign on that door. Out of service. They was cleaning it. And I'm thinking, y'all really don't know how bad you need to get out of there. I looked at the guy and said, is there another restroom? He said, oh, yeah. There's one on the other end down there. I made that one. Somebody said, preacher, that's stupid. No. How many of you in your circle of friends has people who has a natural problem in their life, needs help, and every time they get around you, your sign says, I'm out of service. Everything I needed was right behind that door. It just wasn't working. It was out of service. Everything they need is in the Word of God that you can put in your heart and to deliver them every day. But the problem is most people in the church are out of service. I wish I could preach something different. I'd like to have y'all hanging off the chandeliers and feeling great. But 2015 is staring us in the face in a world that's dying and going to hell. Needs a church that's in service. It needs people who can reach out to everybody you pass. I cannot talk to everybody you know. But you can be that light to a lost and dying world. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Church, I believe with all my heart, God's going to start working in this church. In the next few weeks, we're going to see people delivered. We're going to see chains broken. We're going to see prison bars of addiction come off. We're going to see people born again like never before. But we have got to go to work for God, and if we'll do it. And what was our theme this year? Let your light so shine before men. It's time to take the blinders off and let a world know there is a God that can change your life. Whew. And I really wish I could just leave this off. But I got to ask the question. When was the last time that the Spirit of God moved and you felt conviction? We got people that don't even try to live right during the week, show up on Sunday night like everything's wonderful. And they can find somebody, tell them they're okay, they've read a book. But it ain't true. I've read a book that said I gotta live right. I gotta walk right. I gotta talk right. The early church didn't run around trying to find out what they'd get away with. They didn't run to church on Sunday to confess in their rights. They came to church saying, God, I've sinned. I need you to bless me because I need to reach somebody tomorrow. And every day they went back to the altar. Every day they got a fresh anointing. And every day they added to the church those that were getting saved. And we don't understand. We've lost it. We're going months without seeing people at an altar giving their heart to God. We're like, oh, it's okay. No, it's not. We've got loved ones that are going to die and go to hell if we don't do something about it. We need to quit waiting on God to send somebody and realize he's already sent you. You ought to be that anointed cloth that touches their lives and changes them. I may do nothing else in my life. But I have the pleasure of knowing I won my mom and my dad to the Lord before they left here. My mom, my dad both were backslid. I never knew them as Christians until after I got saved. My dad, a backslid preacher, a mighty powerful man of God. Walked away from church and never darted a door again, but I had the privilege of praying him through by a wheelchair outside DCH Hospital. And I got to know my dad as a Christian. And I want to tell you the greatest thing in my life is not the thousands of other people that have come to know the Lord, but I know I want those two. And I know when I get to heaven, they're going to be there waiting on me. I have a cause. I didn't start preaching because I was going to get $1 million or make a bridge or be able to do something without working. I could care less. I could work a job every day and still do what I'm doing right now. But I know a God that cares so much about me when I didn't care about me. That he turned my life around and set me up right and gave me a life that I could be proud of. And every time I get up, I look at myself in the mirror and say, why God? Why me? And I realize I have this day to live for you, and I've got an obligation to tell everybody I get the opportunity. And I don't care where I am or what I'm doing. They better not give an opening because we're going to talk about God, because that's what I focus on. Because that's my purpose. That's why I get up in the morning. That's why I go to bed at night. That's why I do what I do. It's because I have a life of purpose. It is to live for him. Stand with me all over the house. Father, I thank you today, God, for your word. Master, it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. God, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, help us today to get in service for you.